Luke chapter 24, beginning at verse 33. Let me read this for us. They got up and returned at once to Jerusalem. There they found the 11 and those with them assembled together and saying, "It is true. The Lord has risen and has appeared to Simon." Then the two told what had happened on the way and how Jesus was recognized by them when he broke the bread. While they were still talking about this, Jesus himself stood among them and said to them, "Peace be with you." They were startled and frightened, thinking they saw a ghost. He said to them, "Why are you troubled? And why do doubts rise in your minds? Look at my hands and my feet. It is I myself. Touch me and see. A ghost does not have flesh and bones as you see I have." When he had said this, he showed them his hands and feet. And while they still did not believe it because of joy and amazement, he asked them, "Do you have anything here to eat?" They gave him a piece of broiled fish, and he took it and ate it in their presence. He said to them, "This is what I told you while I was still with you. Everything must be fulfilled that is written about me in the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms." Then he opened their minds so they could understand the scriptures. He told them, "This is what is written. The Messiah will suffer and rise from the dead on the third day, and repentance for the forgiveness of sins will be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things. I'm going to send you what my Father has promised, but stay in the city until you have been clothed with power from on high." This is the word of the Lord. Let me pray. And then we'll take a look at a few of these verses today and be reminded of the great peace and freedom we have through Christ Jesus our Lord. Let me pray. Lord and Heavenly Father, we thank you for Jesus. We thank you that yes, he came and he died according to the scriptures, but then 3 days later he rose again according to the scriptures as it was planned, as it was purposed. And that because he came and he paid the penalty for sin, and then rose, demonstrating it's done, it's finished, that we can have a great confidence that, yeah, we can have peace with you, that the job is done, that we don't need to fear death, that we don't need to fear judgment, that we don't need to fear sin itself. Instead, Lord, we can come to you freely. Help us today, Lord, as we have a look at your word, to remember what a wonderful promise it is that Easter holds, that there is peace and freedom from fear through the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's in his powerful name that we pray. Amen. Verse 34, it said, "It is true. The Lord has risen." And you may have picked up on it in my prayer, but that then means if he is risen, peace and freedom from fear, it can be ours. We can have that. We can actually experience that here and now amidst all that's going on because Jesus is risen. And that's the message I hope we can hear at Easter. I hope it's the message we can hear outside of Easter too, but particularly today of all days. And we need to hear it, don't we? I mean, I went to the shops the other day and I didn't particularly feel peaceful or unafraid. Normally, Vic will go down and do our big shop for the week. And we've been sort of cooped up in the house, as I'm sure many of you guys have too. With the 4 kids, it's pretty intense. It's not the most peaceful place in the world. So Vic was like, "I'll go out. I'll do the shop. It'd be great for me to get out." She went and she corrected me. I said this morning she was terrified. She wasn't quite terrified, but she felt very uneasy. She felt a little threatened. She did have a little bit of fear there. And so the next week she said, you can go do the shop this time, Brett." And I normally like to go and get out of the house, particularly when we have newborn and the house can be a bit more intense and you add layers to that at this time. But man, I would have preferred to stay home because I went the Saturday just before the new restrictions for Woolies came in and it was packed. And the 1.5 meter rule was sort of applying, but you could see people were there. They were out for themselves. They were afraid. It was like they were fighting for every single thing that was on the shelves because fear does that to you, doesn't it? It causes you those sort of, they talk about either the fight or flight reactions to fear. And I mean, what's happened? Why is it that people are feeling this way? Well, COVID-19, It's got us thinking, what's going on in this world? It's got us, I guess, maybe thinking again at how fragile and afraid we can be. And people are talking about the fact that this is kind of like the new normal. But please, this is not normal, is it? It's anything but normal. It's abnormal. And I found the tension, you may have too. Even today, driving back up here to church, it was a beautiful day, a glorious day, perfect day to reflect on the resurrection. And yet strange, because the world's gone a bit mad, but it was beautiful outside. And I reckon that's what it can be like generally too. Because generally we can think, well, life is just normal, there's no issues, everything's going along fine. But really, our world is a bit abnormal. Things aren't right. We aren't at peace. We aren't at rest. There is fear. In fact, yesterday there was a gentleman walking past. One of our friends walked past our place and we were just out the front at the time. And they'd been the first time they'd been outside in 3 days. And we had a bit of a chat. And he was saying, they reckon it's going to be like this now kind of forever. As in, this is just the new way we're going to have to function to keep ourselves safe. And he said, even if we do get over this, even if we do flatten the curve and we get rid of COVID-19, there's always something else. There's always something else that sort of stirs the unrest in us, that causes us to be afraid. But from the day Jesus came to his disciples and said, peace be with you, peace and freedom from fear can be ours. No matter what's going on in this world, no matter if there is a something else, peace, shalom, everything put right, everything in its right place. Jesus' words, peace be with you. And they're just as true today as they were when he first uttered them on that first Easter Sunday. In fact, they might be the words that we really, really need to hear today. Whether you trust him or not, whether you believe in this Jesus character or not, and you might just be randomly tuning in tonight, I hope if you do trust in him that today is one of those days that you are reminded of the wonderful peace that has been purchased for you, that is secure, that is sure because of the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. And that means you are free from fear, because Jesus' words, peace be with you, they're not just a simple greeting. And I hope tonight that as we come and look at God's words, we acknowledge the truth, because I think we're probably lying to ourselves if we don't admit this, that we all want peace. We all want to be free from fear. But if you're anything like me, and it's only because of Jesus that I have a confidence that I am free from fear, very few of us really feel it, do we? And if we do feel it, it's often a fleeting moment before something else comes along. But Jesus' words, peace be with you, speak an everlasting promise. They give us peace, freedom from fear, because that first day of the week meant that Sunday came. And so let's have a look again at what it is that peace be with you really means. And to catch us up to speed again, just to make sure we know where we are, it's Sunday, but we've come from Friday. And so Good Friday happened, where Jesus went to the cross, where he died, where he took the penalty for sins. And we get that, and we call it Good Friday, but for the disciples, they didn't quite understand it just yet. They hadn't had their minds opened up to the scriptures. And so where are they on the first day of the week, the resurrection day, before they see Jesus? Well, John 20 verse 19 tells us, on the evening of that first day of the week, when the disciples were together, where were they? Were they together praising and singing joyfully to God? No, they were with the doors locked for fear of the Jewish leaders. They were afraid. So the disciples, not quite sure of what's going on just yet. And then we hear and we read before, well, we noticed a couple of the friends go on the road from Emmaus, from Jerusalem to Emmaus, dragging their feet because their Savior has died. He is dead. They're on their way and Jesus comes and interrupts them and he shows to them who he actually is. And they realize he's alive. And so they bolt back to Jerusalem, back to the other 11. And that's what we read just before. And when they get there, all of them have realized and they say, it is true, verse 34. The Lord has risen and he has appeared to Simon. And so just imagine for a moment. I want to try and put yourself in their dusty old sandals. He's not dead anymore. Like, that's huge. The one that you were following, that you had all your hopes and dreams in, who had died, he's alive. And he actually says this is all part of the plan. It's true. Just imagine that me talking about peace, me talking about having this idea that you can be free from fear, that is actually true too. Man, don't you, like, we want that. And let me try and capture it this way. It's true. The vaccine is here and all of you can take it. In fact, every single one of you is getting a dose delivered tomorrow morning. Done. It's over. We are free. No longer do we have to be cooped up, isolated, afraid of this thing called COVID-19. And even that doesn't come close to capturing the wonder and the majesty and the beauty and the glory of what the resurrection means for each one of us. Peace, freedom, it's true. And so let's have a look. Peace, paid for and offered to you by Jesus. We'll look at that first, which then means we can be free from fear because that is available to all of those who trust in Jesus Christ. Jesus has paid for our peace and he now offers us peace because he came and said, peace be with you. Have a look at verse 36. It says, while they were still talking, so that's the 11, the women, all those gathered together there talking about this, Jesus himself, not somebody else, Jesus himself stood among them. Remember, they're in a locked room and he's just shown up. So no wonder they thought, oh, this guy's a ghost. What's going on here? They're a bit afraid, but no, this is Jesus and he proves it to them. But what does he say? He said to them, peace be with you. Now, this is no ordinary greeting, but it also is, because peace be with you, shalom aleikum, was the Jewish way of just sort of saying peace to you. So a general sort of greeting in the Jewish community. And yet, shalom, the word also, it captures this idea of wholeness, rightness, a person being uninjured, being safe, being healed and whole, everything in its right place. That's peace. And it's all encompassing too. It's not just simply about your relationship to others, though that's included. It includes your physical, psychological, social, your spiritual, and actually all of it flows from having the right relationship with the God of the universe. The rest just flows. But the significance of Jesus coming and saying this after what happened only a few days ago is immense. Because what did he say? What were his last words before these first words to these disciples? It is finished. Job done. Now I come and offer you peace. And we have to get this. Like, you have to get this. Otherwise, the Easter weekend is missed. And man, I would imagine many of you have gone through Easter weekends and just missed it. You've enjoyed the hot crosses. You've enjoyed the chocolate. But this is so much greater than any of that stuff. Because why is it that Jesus' offer of peace is such a big deal that we want to bang on about all the time? Well, peace is needed, isn't it? I mean, you feel it. It's needed in our world. It's needed between one another. We are at unrest with each other. And most of all, it's needed between God and ourselves. But why is it that Jesus coming alive is so important? Well, just quickly, have a look back at verse 35. Because in verse 35, it mentions, and then back before that, it was when they broke bread with him, when they ate with him, that they realized it was Jesus. Now, that might not be and probably isn't a direct reference to him sharing the Lord's Supper with them, but it triggers something in their minds, and so should ours as well. The Passover meal, where they broke bread, where they drank the wine, where they remembered that the Passover lamb was sacrificed for others, and Jesus said, I am now that lamb. I am now this one who is sacrificed for your sins. So this pushes us back to the crucifixion, back to Good Friday, where the need for justice, if you were with us on Friday, and check that out again if you haven't, where things were needed to be made right, was made right through the blood, the perfect blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus, who came claiming to be God, who then said, I got up on that cross to pay the price. As it was written in the scriptures, I had to suffer, I had to die. But if he had stayed dead, I mean, what good is that? Where's the proof? There would be plenty of room for doubt. If Jesus stayed dead, the whole thing's kind of pointless. We should pack up this whole show and go home. Now, I'm pretty terrible at, I don't know what you guys are like with your budgeting. Physical receipts are not my strong suit. I don't really like filing physical receipts and keeping them. And part of that, I think, is because I've grown up in a generation where we get everything emailed or it's all trackable on NetBank. And so I just believe it's all going to be fine if you have that. But I can nearly guarantee there's been a whole lot more online shopping going on at this period of time. Definitely has been a little bit more in my household. So when I'm going through the net bank, I can see it. And there was one time I did online shopping and it all went a bit sour. And fortunately, I had the receipt. I had actually kept the receipt, a printed copy, because I bought a coffee machine. And I was away at the time and it got delivered to this other person's address and they signed for it and took it. And I was got a little notification saying, your machine has been delivered, it has been accepted, we're all done, signed, sealed, delivered, fantastic. I'm like, no, I don't have my machine. And so fortunately, my mate was able to take the receipt and head over, get my machine, bring it back. And we had proof that I had paid for it. There was a receipt. There was something that showed there is no doubt I own this. Read with me 1 Corinthians 15. It'll be on the screen. It says 1 Corinthians 15, 17 and 19 says, if Christ has not been raised, let's say he didn't come back from the dead. Christian, your faith is futile. You are still in your sins. You don't have peace. Then those also who have fallen asleep in Christ are lost. If only for this life we have hope in Christ, if it was only now that that's all we got, we are of all people most to be pitied. If Jesus didn't come back, what a waste of time that would be. And do you feel the tension in that little part of the text? And I'm not trying to be a downer because verse 19 goes to verse 20. But Christ has indeed been raised from the dead. It's true. Jesus is alive. And you can check the evidence. It matches up really, really well. And Romans 4 picks up on this, though, in the significance of what that means for us. It says, he was delivered over to death for our sins and was raised to life for our justification as proof that everything is now made right, which means price is paid. And here is my receipt. Here is my receipt. This weekend, I can point to a blood-stained cross and an empty tomb, a risen Lord Jesus Christ who is breathing, who is eating, who is reigning, who is alive today. That is my proof, beyond reasonable doubt, beyond doubt itself. Peace with God is offered and paid for. And that can be yours. That can be mine. That can be ours. And you might be thinking, this is all a bit much, Brett, for a chilled out Sunday night. Let's just relax a little bit. God and justice and all this stuff. But I doubt too many of us missed it this week. And it's probably risky me saying it, I guess. Most of us would have seen what happened in the Pell case this week. George Pell released. And yeah, it might seem risky to mention it. And the atrocities that have gone on in the church, I don't want to get into today. God will bring about justice where it is needed. I'm not trying to make a comment on whether he's innocent or whether he's guilty, but I do want to make a comment on our legal system. Because time and time again, we see how it fails, don't we? It'll either fail on the behalf of the victims or the accused. And it can never really be perfect. It can never really give us the full justice that is demanded, really. And people want that, don't they? We see it time and time again at the best of times. And then there's the worst of times where the innocent are condemned or the guilty go free or those who are victims really don't get any justice at all. And yet we all desire it, don't we? We long for it and we'll cry out for it. We will, in fact, call other people out for justice. We want to make the wrongs right. And so if there is a God, which there most certainly is, the scriptures tell me that. How much more does he want justice? How much more does he want to make things right? You know how much? He came and he did it. Romans 3:26 tells us that in Jesus' sacrifice, God did that in order that he could be both just, because he had to punish the sins of the world and make right, but the justifier, so that we could go free, because those sins had been punished in Christ Jesus, that we now don't have to pay for them. See, the best our legal or our justice system can do is that beyond reasonable doubt, isn't it? But if this is true, Jesus is risen, then peace, there is no doubt that those who are living out of step with God, those who are not right with God, and let's be real, that's all of us, those of us who are not at peace with him, who are doing things our own way, who are trying to lead our own lives, we can say, no, price is paid and I have the receipt. Peace be with you. It is so much more than a common greeting, isn't it? And it goes even deeper than that, because this peace is beyond what we can even picture and imagine in this world. Like, any illustration is probably going to be hard to grasp it, because shalom, Real peace is only something Jesus can offer. Because listen to what he said to his disciples on the night before he is crucified. This is the night before and he's speaking to them. John 14:27. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. It's different. This is unique. Do not let your hearts be troubled. And do not be afraid. His peace. And that means it extends. His peace is different to what this world can offer. This world can never offer us what Jesus can. Now, I don't know what your household is like at the moment, but I've mentioned mine is crazy. Today was quite intense when I went home. I'm feeling the tiredness right now. Our family, it is not quiet in that place. Maybe yours is quiet, and that's the problem. Because many of us have been given that little bit more room or space or time at night during the day. I don't know when it is to think, to feel the unease, maybe to feel the lack of peace and to see that there is a lack of peace of mind, that there is a lack of peace when it comes to our comfort in our health, in our finances, in what's going to happen into the future. Seeing the discord between one another, the relationships that are at tension and the lack of peace in our world. All of this points to something. Things aren't right. It is abnormal. When a pandemic seems to hit, time and time again, these pandemics hit, whatever it is. At the moment, it's COVID-19. It kind of is a bit like a microphone or a megaphone, sorry. A megaphone that's like a wake-up call for all of us. It might be sunny outside, but things just aren't right. And that lack of peace can lead to fear. Did you notice what Jesus promised his disciples? John 14:27. He promised them his peace, and then he said to them, don't let your hearts be troubled, and don't be afraid. But what happens? Where were they on that first day of the week? Were they free from fear? John 20:19. No, let me read it again. On the evening of that first day of the week, on the day of resurrection, before they see Jesus, when the disciples were together, with the doors locked, for fear of the Jewish leaders. They're afraid. Without the presence of the Lord Jesus, without his peace with us, all of us experience this fear. And there's different responses to fear, isn't there? So the fight or flight. I mentioned that the shopping center at the moment has me a little bit anxious. Terrified is probably too much because I'm a bit like Simba too. But it is fearful. And I got thinking about fear and wanted to then ask my family, because there are a range of people. I've got a 2-year-old, a 5.5-year-old, an 8-year-old, and a beautiful wife whose age will be, I said undisclosed this morning, but she's 33. Who cares? She's beautiful and young and wonderful. Anyway, I asked them all, what do you fear? So let's start with the 2-year-old, hey? I think she said foxes. Words came out, but she doesn't know what a fox is. So I don't really know what she's... I do know she's afraid of being left behind, though. Because every time somebody leaves the house, if she wants to go with them or is worried that she's going to be left by herself, she freaks out. Micah and Tilly, they both started by saying nothing. And I think they've been watching so much of The Lion King recently, so I think they're channeling Simba. I laugh in the face of danger, that sort of nothing really scares us. Well, they're just quite comfortable in their setting. But then when Tilly thought about it a bit more, she said being late to school, she hates being late to school and it makes her really anxious. But then it was beautiful. She sort of worked through these different things and she went, spiders? No way. Ghosts? No. Wolves, no. Dragons, no. Being left behind at the shops? Oh, and really scary things like big wolves. And at the moment, she says bad dreams because she seems to have them and they do terrify her pretty much every night at the moment. Micah, and quite confrontingly for me, said, Dad being upset with me. Like, will I be in trouble? What's he going to say? What's he going to do? Loud noises, Ken. Being left at the shops too. And he used to think that there were monsters under his bed, but now he's confident there's none there. And Tilly reassured him, there's none under hers either, but that's probably because she's got a bunk bed. But what about you? I mean, what are you afraid of? Maybe you're afraid the NBN will fail. Wouldn't that be devastating in this time? Maybe you run out of toilet paper like so many people have been afraid of doing. Other essentials. Maybe you're just afraid of a little bit of discomfort that would turn your world upside down. Afraid that things might have to be cancelled, or you've already cancelled things that you were looking forward to. Relationships are in strain because you don't get to see those people. You've lost your autonomy, your independence, or your freedom. Maybe you are afraid of being alone, of the uncertainty of your finances. Will there be a recession? I'll get lost at the shops over that for sure. because this is what Vic told me, and I reckon you were probably fairly similar. Being alone, being left, you leaving me, or you dying, me dying, or one of the kids dying. Fear is real, isn't it? And it can be the little wolves. No, I'm not that afraid of that. But when the really big wolves show up, well, let's be real. When mortality comes straight to your door, when it starts actually knocking, when it seems so much more real and it's staring us in the face a little bit more despite the sunshine, that's scary. But there is something deeper, greater, scarier, you can say, than that. It's why death exists. You see, Romans 6:23 says, the wages of sin is death. So death is the wages, but the sin is the issue. Death is absolutely an unwelcome guest. It isn't right, is it? It tears families apart. It destroys futures. It harms us. It leaves many, many scars. But there is a greater fear that most don't even acknowledge. Underneath all of that, the reason why we fear death is because we as humans, we have a fear of coming before our Creator God and not being right, of being judged, and justice actually saying, you deserve. See, the very sting of death is sin, 1 Corinthians 15 says. Not being right, not being with him, and death is like that pandemic reminding you, reminding me that there is something that isn't right. But Easter is magnificent. It is glorious because Jesus comes and says, peace be with you. And the disciples got it. They finally got it. And they turn from these scaredy cats to championing the cause of Jesus everywhere, even in the face of death, because they know death isn't the issue. Jesus has done away with the real issue. Now, I'm not saying, please, this doesn't mean that you're not going to feel uneasy at times. That, you know, trust in Jesus and you'll never feel, you know, that churn in your stomach? Your heart rate will never go up. That you won't choke, feel that little tightness in your neck. Anxiety will just disappear and you'll never have those sleepless nights. I'm not saying that. But if this is true, Jesus offers peace. If he is risen, he offers peace. And one that this world can't offer, not of this world. One that Philippians 4 tells us goes beyond our understanding. Why? Because in John 16 it says that he has overcome the world. He has overcome all of this. It is his peace that he then offers to you. And it is certain. It can and it will then descend into your heart. And I hope at this Easter you have a new sense of peace in these circumstances. But bigger than that, that you know for sure that the greatest fear you could ever have of standing before the Lord, not right, has just been done away because Jesus says, peace be with you. This week, I spoke to one of our members and he said it was okay for me to share this, but I said I wouldn't mention his name. His mum passed away a little bit ago and her funeral was on Wednesday. And I called him just to check in to see how he was going with it all, particularly with, you know, only 10 people being able to be at these things. Man, like, that'd be hard. His mum had battled with cancer and it had turned real bad at the back end of last year. And so they were prepared and they were expecting it. But I don't think I was expecting him to respond you hope maybe that Christians will, but the way that this man and his mum had responded to death coming and being at their door demonstrated they know that you can have peace and freedom from fear. Because I asked him, how you're doing? And he said, it's sad because she was quite young. It is sad that she died young. But also at the same time, it's not that sad because she gets to go and be with Jesus a little bit sooner. Man, like, that's incredible. I asked him what I could pray for him and he said, comfort, or you could use the word peace. And he didn't say peace by just giving me peace of mind here and now. He didn't say just relieving the stress and strain of this stuff. He said peace found in the promises of God. Peace found, really, on the resurrection. That we have peace and freedom from fear. See, Jesus is risen. Death is still a horrible enemy, isn't it? It isn't right. But if this is true, if he has risen and he comes and says, peace be with you, we can say like Paul the Apostle says, where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting? All because the sting of death is actually sin. And Jesus has given us victory over that. Jesus offers perfect peace with the Father of all, the God of all. He has paid the price and he has rose to offer peace. There is no doubt. It's not just beyond reasonable. This is it. He rose from the grave, so it is signed, sealed, delivered. It is at your door. Nothing will be able to take that from you. If this is true, man, what sting does death have? You've got to believe it, please. You have to hear this message and accept the peace and freedom that Jesus has available for you. Because I know COVID-19 has got many people in a flap. It's full on, and it should. But there has been a greater pandemic from a long, long time before this. It has a far more, well, it's far more fatal than COVID-19. It's far more dangerous. You could say it's far more contagious. Well, everybody's infected with it. I don't know if you noticed, but people were a little bit flippant. Even I probably was a little bit flippant about the whole COVID-19 thing until it really came right to your front door, until it hit closer to home. And that's the same with this greater pandemic. If you haven't picked it up, I'm talking about sin. Because the signs and symptoms are everywhere. It's in our lack of peace, our feelings of fear. It's in the very presence of evil that we see. It's in the cry that we have for justice. It's in the fact that people do die. Our sin, our rebellion, our war against God and his ways, it has infected every single one of us. So what do we do about this? COVID-19, I reckon I'm hanging out for a vaccine. I would love to see things go back to normal. I want to play football. I want to see friends. I want to be here with you lot. This is not right. So imagine there was a vaccine, a guaranteed cure for the greater pandemic, for sin. And the only side effect was peace and freedom. Imagine. Well, there is. That's what Easter teaches us. That's what Jesus means when he says, peace be with you. He says that to every single one of us. Peace and freedom from fear, if this is true, is yours. And what did it say? Verse 34. It is true. The Lord has risen. Let me pray. Loving Heavenly Father, thank you so much that Jesus purchased our peace. Thank you that he went to that cross and paid for our peace. And thank you that he then rose from the grave to prove that he can offer us peace with no doubt. Lord, thank you that that did away with our great issue of sin and that we are not right with you. And instead now we can, in Christ Jesus, claim peace and freedom from fear, freedom from being afraid of, well, the real consequences of sin and death. Lord, please help us to trust in you. Please help us to glory in this great weekend, to be reminded of how great it is that Jesus Christ came, he lived, he died, but then he rose again. And I pray if there's people out there who have never really trusted in this or who have been doubting it, that this weekend you might draw them ever closer to this truth, that they too can say, it is true. He is risen. I have peace. I have freedom. And thank you and praise you for the rest of their lives. We pray this through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.